Hey everybody, welcome to Peck Report. We got a very special Peck Report today. Today we're going to be answering one of the questions from the members only message board. And this is why it's important to become a member if you haven't already. Now, if you haven't had a chance to already, how do you become a member? You just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com on the top toolbar, or not toolbar, on the top links there, right next to home, you will see a drop down menu that says members. Click on that and then you can log in. Create a login. It is only $10 a month or $100 a year, and then you get full Peck reports, which, by the way, the latest Peck report, which is my longest ever, 6 hours long, on our true interdimensional enemies and the day they are finally destroyed, that is now up. That is now up, the entire full 6 hours for members only, for people who weren't able to catch the live show. If you were able to stick around for the live show, then you've already seen the whole thing, even if you're not a member. So the live shows, those are available for everybody. But if you want the archived version, if you want to go back and watch things that you may have missed or go back and take notes, that is for members only. So $10 a month or $100 a year, which that is actually the better deal because you get 2 months for free. But either way, this is less than a cup of coffee a day. Also, when you check out, you'll see that there's only a PayPal button. Don't worry, if you don't have a PayPal account, you can still use that button and use your credit card through that, so don't let that throw you off. Now, our question today from the message board comes from Kathy, and Kathy is asking, I just sent you an email about the no-hide laws, which she did, and thank you, Kathy, for the email. I did respond to you. And that's why we're doing this show. And also, it was just good timing because we also have an article that was just released on Josh Peck Disclosure on the JPD Newswatch. But Kathy says, they seem to be quite concerning to me as I am seeing them on many videos, so I would like to get your take on it. I know you're busy, but I think many others would like to learn more about them as well. I agree, so we're going to talk about that today. Now, a few months ago, maybe a couple months ago, we did do a Peck report briefly on the no-hide laws, but we're going to get a little bit more into it today, and we're going to we're going to answer the question: is it possible? Could the deception of the last days concern Israel? Now, this is an awesome article written by one of our amazingly talented writers, A. Marie Cole, and. This was also edited by Cheryl Major. She's our editor. Everything goes through her, and she does an amazing job. She works well with the writers. Oh, by the way, if you actually want to write for JPD Newswatch for joshpeckdisclosure.com, if you want to write for us, go ahead and send me an email and send me a sample 2,000 or more word article, topic of your choice, something that you think the JPD audience would like. And send that to me and I will consider it. We were able to set this up where we can take on some more writers. So if you want to, and you would get full credit, you would have, full control over, what's the word I'm looking for? You have full credit for your own stuff. You know, I don't own any of it. You own all the rights to it. Let's get into this. So again, this was written by A. Marie Cole. It was put up on JPD Newswatch. I'm going to go through the whole article and add some of my own commentary as well, because like I said, I agree with Kathy. It's an important topic, and it's kind of been rising in popularity lately. A lot of people are wondering about this idea of the no-hide laws. Also, just a bigger question of how should we as Christians view Israel? You know, is it that we have to agree with every single thing that Israel is all about? Is that what the Bible is talking about? Or on the opposite end, are we supposed to be nothing but absolutely critical and just assume the worst in everything that they do? Or is there some middle ground? Can we still be praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Can we pray for Israel and for the Jewish people and still be critical of their policies and things like that? And when does it become anti-Semitic? So those are all important questions. We're going to get into all of that. So let's just jump right in. Now, what if Jesus' words, "Be on your guard"? This is from Mark 13:9. "Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." What if those words were true? Or how about 1 Timothy 4:1 that says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Revelation 2:9 says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. What if all these are true? If you're a Christian, you very likely believe these verses as absolute truth. And thankfully, as Christians, we know that 2 Corinthians 4:17 is also true. This light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, I'm really happy with what A. Marie Cole did with this article, because I've seen that Revelation 2:9 verse. I've seen that used for people to just completely slander the Jewish people, like to the point where it's anti-Semitic, where it's actually racist. I've seen it used and twisted that way. And what I really like about what A. Marie Cole has done here is this is a far more balanced approach. This is a more balanced approach to actually show what's really going on. So there's this idea growing, or ideology growing in today's church, that warrants at least a closer look. So pastors and ministers quote verses like Psalm 122:6 that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. And they use this verse to excuse everything Israel does, and often declare that anyone who says a word against the policies of Israel is touching the apple of God's eye. And they forget that the same could be said of the church. So it's not anti-Semitic to criticize or to have opinions about the policies of Israel, some of their policies. That is not anti-Semitic to do that. Just like it's not anti-American to be critical of some of America's policies, right? Actually, in a lot of ways, that's a very American thing to do. It's not anti-Christian to be critical of some of the things that go on in the church, or to go on even in some individual Christians. I mean, that's basically what we do on this channel most of the time. I mean, throughout that whole long Peck Underground Church, a lot of that was me being critical of some other Christians and just how the church has fallen away from a lot of the roots of our faith. Now, there are more and more churches embracing the law of Moses. They're abstaining from pork, worshiping on Saturday, keeping the feast days of the Jews. And is there a problem with this? It's actually the opinion of many that the answer to this question is yes. Now, from my own personal perspective, I don't eat pork. But I work with the host of Skywatch TV. He and I kind of make a lot of jokes about this. Derek Gilbert, he does eat pork. We've never fought about it. It's never been an issue. It is what it is. Because there are infinitely more important things. Now, what is the role of the law? So we're going to get into this, because there's a lot of different ways to look at this. But why think about it this way. Why would we do what God says? Do we do it to earn our place in heaven, or to earn favor with God? Do we do it because there's an obligation that if we don't, some bad things are going to happen, or if we don't, it means we don't love God? So that's actually backwards. Think about it like this. Do you give your wife flowers because you love her and you're trying to show your love and appreciation, or do you give your wife flowers so she'll stay married to you, because you doing that is the only way to stay in her favor? You know she likes flowers, she prefers flowers, she loves flowers, she doesn't like it when you don't buy them. Do you buy them just solely just to keep her happy, and that's the basis of your marriage? Or does the love come first, and you're showing an appreciation? This is how you're showing your love to your wife. See, I would say, in a good marriage, in a good solid relationship, you're doing it because you're showing love to your wife and appreciation. You don't necessarily have to. She probably would prefer that you do. All of the things that you do for your wife are like that. Now, if you're only doing it, if the love isn't first, and then you grow in that love from having a proper relationship with God, then what you have is what a lot of people have unfortunately fallen into. You have where it's the rules first, and then you earn favor with God through that, or you earn love from God through that, and that's where it gets dangerous. So continuing on, and you know, the Bible says that, you know, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. So all things are lawful, but not all things build up, 1 Corinthians 10:23. So while it is not a sin to keep the laws of Moses, I want to be very clear, that is not what we're saying, because this is going to get twisted around. I already had one woman blast me, all in caps, this is heresy, without providing a single quote or a single thing that this article said that explained why, you know, it's just when people think they can just shout heresy and that's going to convince other people. You know, you actually got to provide a reason. So we are not saying, I'm making it very clear, we are not saying that it's a sin to keep the law of Moses. All right, that's not what we're getting at here. So while it is not a sin to keep the law of Moses, it doesn't build up. And as a matter of fact, it can be dangerous if it's taken to the extreme. If it's taken to the point where people feel like God's not going to love them as much if they aren't following all this stuff perfectly, that it can get dangerous. Now, on the other hand, you know, there are two sides to this coin. The hypergrace stuff can get really dangerous too. If you think that you can just go on sinning and everything, and then God's, you know, God died on the cross, so he'll forgive it, so we can be swingers and trade wives, and, you know, you probably have all seen that article out there about the Christian swingers, or you get like Christian witchcraft now, and a lot of that is from the hypergrace stuff, and because, you know, all is forgiven, right? Well, that can be dangerous too. So there's two sides of this. But you know, today we're talking about Noahide laws and stuff, so that we're gonna keep focused on that. But I just wanted to make sure that it's out there, so I don't want people to misconstrue this and think that we are saying something that we're not. Of course, there's going to be comments like that anyway, because people will react just based on a title and nothing more. But at least then you people who are actually smart and actually listen to what's being said, then you can go in and gently, respectfully, and lovingly correct them. So, okay. Now, all of the sacrifices that were required by the law to cover the sins of man were just that. It was a covering. So man's sins were not dealt with, only pushed back until Jesus came. Now, he, as the ultimate sacrifice, fulfilled the requirements of the law. We get that from Matthew 5:17. And being freed from the law of the Old Testament, why would we continue to live under them? Now, again, this is not a message of hypergrace, but it's also not a message of full-blown, you know, keeping Moses' law, otherwise you're not saved, kind of thing. Now, we are indeed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are, and we are absolutely to follow Paul's example given in Romans 10:1, which says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." We talk about this on Peck Report all the time. You know, how important it is to understand what Jewish people believe so we can best witness to them, and so we know the times that we're living in, so we can best understand Bible prophecy and stuff like that. It's incredibly important, and we need to pray for them that they get saved, while recognizing that they are denying the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. We don't hate them for that. You know, we all were sinners at one point. And we still sin. We're identified by Jesus now. You know, we're not identified by our sin anymore. But Paul prays this because it doesn't matter what bloodline you claim. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. No one, not even the Jews, comes to the Father by anyone else but Him. But by Him. That's the only way to the Father. No one else comes to the Father but through Jesus, even the Jews. Now, bearing these things, and we get that from John 14:6. Now, bearing these things, our prayers and love for the Jewish people in mind, let's examine some rabbinical teachings that might be considered the teachings of demons as stated in the aforementioned 1 Timothy 4:1. This is the crux of the argument. And before we get to that, I will make this quick, I promise, because this is such an important thing. But I do have to tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. If you are a user of CBD oil, you are going to love CBD Pure and CBD Pets. This has probably happened to you before, where it's hard to find a vendor, it's hard to find someone you trust, and you know, maybe you got a friend, or maybe you find somebody online and you order some CBD oil, and it gets shipped to you, and it's garbage. There's no money back guarantee. It's garbage, and you're stuck with it, and you paid like $40 for this thing, and now you're just stuck with it. You know, it's just filler for the garbage can. That has certainly happened to me before. But with CBD Pure and CBD Pets, that it just will never happen. It is impossible for it to happen because they have a money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it. But also, they third-party independently test all every single batch of CBD oil that they make to make sure that it is non-GMO, that it is pesticide-free, it's totally organic. They actually put the scientific results of their testing, they put that on their website so you can go and see it for yourself. And they also make this for your pets. They make a version of this for specifically designed for pets. So your furry companion deserves natural relief and can get it through CBD Pets. So it's absolutely a phenomenal product. I love this company because of their transparency. You can click on the links in the description below to go check them out for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Or you can just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com and find the banner on the sidebar. You can get it there, but you should check it out. You will not be disappointed. And hey, while you're there, go ahead and check out Coastline Kratom. Coastline Kratom is the highest quality kratom, and it also provides a money-back guarantee. Now, with Coastline Kratom, because it's very difficult to actually buy kratom because of the political climate around this, because of that, you do have to set up an account with Zelle Pay, but don't worry, Coastline Kratom makes it super easy. You can just go right on the website and do it from there. It only takes a second, and then you can buy anything you want. And I highly suggest you do, because they are awesome. So if you want to check that out, you can click on the link in the description below for that. Or again, just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, joshpeckdisclosure.com. And again, hey, while you're there, become a member, because if you're listening to this on YouTube, you see that it's like a Spreaker thing and it's audio only. There is actually a full video with this. You get to see my lovely, shining, beautiful face if you're a member. Why else do we have so many members? There couldn't be any other reason. No, I kid, of course. But we do have a lot of members. They're all wonderful, and you can be a member too, and you can get the full video, not the audio only version. So either way, yes, you're getting the information. But if you sign up, you get the full video. You actually get some Peck reports that have not been aired anywhere because YouTube won't allow it. They've been censored. They'll be censored. They'll take down my channel if I dare say anything about the Holy Land or the Chosen People. On YouTube, I'm straight just YouTube videos. We've had to use code words like that. Now, for some reason, when it's filtered through Spreaker, when I upload it to Spreaker first and then it goes to YouTube, so far we haven't had too many problems. We have had one that was demonetized, so that still happens quite a bit, but we haven't had a video actually taken down yet. But it's just a matter of time. It's bound to happen. It's happened so many times before. It's going to happen again. So become a member. Take control back of our content. Go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. $10 a month, $100 or $100 a year, which is the better deal because you get 2 months free. And either way, it's less than a cup of coffee a day. Okay. Now, so let's get into this. Rabbinical Judaism is based on the idea that God not only revealed the law in the written Torah or the books of Moses, but he also revealed the oral Torah to the 70 elders that went up on the mountain with Moses in Exodus 24. So the oral Torah became Pharisaical Judaism, which in turn became the rabbinical Judaism we know today. So there's some interesting history there. Now, the main authoritative and central text of rabbinical Judaism is the Talmud. So Wikipedia says the Talmud is the, quote, primary source of Jewish religious law, halakha, and Jewish theology, end quote. So a closer look at the Talmud reveals that it is fundamentally different from the Torah as revealed to Moses, and is the very teaching that would cause Jesus to call the Pharisees hypocrites and liars, interestingly enough. So Matthew 23 verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 23, 25, 27, and 29 records the seven woes of the Pharisees as declared by Jesus. So here they are. First, one, they taught about God but did not love him. They would not enter heaven and would prevent others from entering as well. Two, they sought converts to their dead religion, making the converts twice the sons of hell as they already were. Three, they taught that an oath sworn by the temple or altar was not binding, but if sworn by the gold of the temple or the gift on the altar was binding. They misplaced the sacredness, likely because they could point to their gifts as proof of their holiness. Four, also, while you're listening to these, think about stuff that we kind of see going on today. Four, they taught the law, but did not practice the most important aspects of the law. They focused on trivial Things like tithing spices, but denied the weightier matters like justice, mercy, faithfulness to God, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's why the most important things, to God, we got to love God, we got to love one another. And Scripture even says that you cannot love God if you don't love one another first. So you got to love one another, otherwise you can't know God. You can't love God. You can't know the love of God. So if you're not loving one another, then you got to take a serious, close look at yourself and find out why that is and get right with God. But loving one another comes first, because you can love each other. You know, you can't love God unless you love each other. So the loving each other's got to come first, and you got to learn to do that. Now, it doesn't mean that you got to condone everything they do. I mean, that's like the whole point of this, I think, is that we love the Jewish people. You're supposed to even love your enemies. But we love the Jewish people. We don't condone everything they do. We don't condone everything they believe. We're critical of some of their policies and some of their beliefs and things like that. Absolutely. We've talked about that many times on Peck Report, and we're going to continue to do so. But that doesn't that's a separate issue than love. We still love them, and we want them to come to the truth, and we want them to know their Messiah. Five, they presented themselves as clean but were dirty on the inside, full of greed and self-indulgence. Six, they portrayed themselves as exemplary keepers of the law, but their facades of righteousness hid their wickedness. And seven, they professed a high regard for the prophets of old and claimed to be different than those who murdered them. They were, in fact, the same as the persecutors and murderers of the prophets. So it was the observance of the Talmud that would cause Jesus to call those who did so serpents and a brood of vipers. You know, that's why I get a little irritated when people try to use Jesus' phrase there on YouTube comments. And they try to use that as justification for their own filthy mouths, you know, and they totally lose the context, and they lose what exactly is going on. Now, the purpose of the article that was written on joshpeckdisclosure.com and the purpose of this video, it's not to investigate the full contents of the Talmud, though many Christians would be shocked by it. And we could do that in the future if you would like. You put a question in the message board and we'll address it. But the purpose of the video here and the article is to expose one portion of the Talmud that's becoming more and more prevalent and is likely to affect every single person in the world. The danger in the Talmud to Christians is the Noahide laws. So that's what we're going to get into now. You know, rabbis say that the Noahide laws are seven laws that were established at the time of Noah and therefore apply to all humanity as opposed to the covenant of Moses, which were just for the Jews. So these laws are: 1, not to worship idols; 2, not to curse God; 3, to establish the courts of justice; 4, not to commit murder; 5, not to commit adultery or sexual immorality; 6, not to steal; and 7, not to eat flesh torn from a living animal. Now, according to Wikipedia, quote, various rabbinic sources have different positions on the way the seven laws are to be subdivided in categories, but the general consensus is that the seven laws are broad categories containing within them many subdivisions and further divided into specific laws. The comparison is between the Ten Commandments as well as the other 603 specific laws to seven Noahide laws and a much larger but not specified number of detailed laws. So it's end quote. So it's using that comparison. Now, therein lies the danger. We Christians all would agree that idolatry is sin, but what if the worship of Jesus is considered idolatry? By the way, most rabbis actually say that it is. The seven Noahide laws include the establishment of a court system in all lands. This court system is the same as the Sanhedrin of Jesus' day. The ruling body determines what is idolatry and what isn't, and they would also determine the penalty for breaking the law, but in most cases the penalty is beheading, surprisingly enough. So proof of this can be found in the quote from the Jewish Encyclopedia, which says, quote, in the elaboration of these seven Noachian, hard word to say. We'll just say the Noahide laws, because that's what it's talking about. And in assigning punishments for their transgressions, the rabbis are sometimes more lenient and sometimes more rigorous with Noahide than with Noachadi. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that. But than they are with Israel's. But with a few exceptions, the punishment meted out to Noahide for the transgression of any of the seven laws is decapitation. So the least painful for the four modes of execution of criminals. And you can there's a link in the article for capital punishment. And again, that's from the Jewish Encyclopedia. So doesn't the book of Revelation say that Christians will be beheaded for the witness of Christ? Yeah, it actually does. Now, something to keep in mind, these no heed people, these seven laws are you know, how does a Gentile or how does a person that's not a Jew get to heaven? And they follow these laws. So they're you know, according to the Jewish people, they're bound by these laws. So some of that, in breaking these laws, some of the punishment there is beheading. So the book of Revelation says that Christians will be beheaded for the witness of Christ. And we can look again at the verse mentioned at the beginning that we mentioned before, Mark 13:9, that says, "Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." So Jesus could have said places of worship. He could have said where people gather, but he said synagogue. Now, one could argue that this already happened. One could argue that this already happened. It's not going to happen again. It happened after Jesus' crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, that when they spread the gospel, this type of thing happened. And yes, it did. It absolutely did happen. But there's a lot of future prophecies that we can't get around to. There's a lot of future prophecies in involving this. So when I look at this, I think that this is a good candidate for what has been called an already but not yet prophecy. So it's something that, yes, happened, but it's going to happen again on likely a larger worldwide scale. So Auburn University put together a website listing links to articles concerning the no-hide laws. The following quote can be found there as an introduction. It says, quote, "The U.S. Congress officially recognized the no-hide laws in legislation, which was passed by both houses. Congress and the President of the United States, George Bush, indicated in Public Law 102-14, 102nd Congress, that the United States of America was founded upon the seven universal laws of Noah, and that these laws have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization. They also acknowledge that the seven laws of Noah are the foundation upon which civilization stands, and that recent weakening of these principles threaten the fabric of civilized society, and that justified preoccupation in educating the citizens of the United States of America and future generations is needed. For this purpose, the public law designated March 26, 1991 as Education Day USA," end quote. And that, again, comes from articles concerning the seven laws of Noah and related concepts compiled by Auburn University. And for that direct link, for that, all the citations for all the sources for this, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, click the JPD Newswatch, and then find the article that was written here. Now, the United States already has legislated the no-hide laws. They passed the House and the Senate and were signed into the body of American law by President George Bush Sr. in 1991. So do you recall the first time that you heard a president or any elected official, for that matter, say the words New World Order? I'm sure you remember that. It was, for most people, from the 1991 State of the Union address by President George Bush Sr. Is the fact that President Bush signed the no-hide laws into effect and the fact that he was the first president to publicly push the New World Order coincidental? You know, it can be assumed the answer is no. Now, again, you know, we're in no way trying to encourage anti-Semitism here. You know, this is intended to offer the church information, and this information is intended to cause Christians to study the Word. So, yes, we love the Jews, of course, but we also love Muslims too. We want everybody to be saved. We want everybody to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But now, what would be, you know, anti-Semitism is what, you know, the types of things that like Ilhan Omar have been saying, you know, insinuate, or actually just flat out accusing Jewish people of just being money hungry, and saying that that's the only reason that Israel has any supporters in America is because it's only because of money and that kind of stuff. That is directly anti-Semitic, and it's untrue. That is absolutely untrue. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. You know, what we're doing is we're being critical of some of the policies and taking a look, a long, hard look at them and comparing them with Jesus' preferences, as made explicitly clear in the Bible, and seeing where they disagree. So, you know, the religious system of, so again, you know, we love Jews, but we love Muslims too. The religious system of one of these people is likely to be the one established by the Antichrist as the religion of state. And we've looked at both options on Peck Report, and we'll continue to do so. We've looked at a couple other options too. But consider the fact that we already have national laws in place for one of these systems. Consider also that the Battle of Gog and Magog, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38, might, if fought before the tribulation, and there's a case that could be made for that. There's a case that could be made for in the middle or after, or even after, you know, the thousand-year reign. Could that be the final battle when Satan is let loose? There's a bunch of different options. But if this Gog and Magog war is fought before the tribulation, this could remove Islam as a force in the world, and this would open the way for the Antichrist and New World Order of the Noahide laws. Now, we've also discussed many times how the Antichrist might set himself up as a Jewish Messiah, and there's been a lot of talk around Israel lately about, you know, the Messiah is here, the Messiah is going to present himself. You know, they're just waiting till after the elections or after Purim or different things like that. So we're getting a lot of reports on that. Does that mean that any of it's true? No, but there is a lot of talk about it. Now, a message sent by Pope Benedict to the Jewish community on the eve of Passover 2008 calls for solidarity and unity between Christians and Jews. But even more startling is the fact that the United Nations has a non-governmental organization or NGO called the Institute of Noahide Code. Again, the United Nations has a Noahide Code department. And this is what's written about it. Quote, "The Institute of Noahide Code is a UN-accredited NGO dedicated to spreading awareness of the seven Noahide laws, which all peoples of the world are obligated to follow. It takes its guidance from the inspiring vision of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who understood the inherent power of these laws to unite the nations of the world," end quote. And again, for that reference, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, look up the article, "Could the Deception of the Last Days Concern Israel?" Now, Christians, let's do a little call to action here. You know, let us study the Word of God. Let us pray for the salvation of Israel and that they would recognize their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let us, as Jesus tells us, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, Matthew 10:16. You know, as Jesus says in Revelation 2:9, "There are in this world those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Now, could these Noahide laws be the very thing Jesus was referring to? Because immediately after saying this, he says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer." You know, there's a terrible time coming upon the world, but Jesus offers us the blessed hope of eternity with him. You know, James 4:14 says, "Life is like a vapor. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. We are all eternal beings." So the question then becomes, where do you want to spend your eternity? If you're not a Christian yet, please consider it. There is also a video from Amory Cole. It's called "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" You can get that link at the you know, from the article, or you can just email areasoningtogether@gmail.com, all one word. She says that she would love to talk to you about Jesus, and if you're interested in Bible study, you can visit her blog, A Reasoning Together. So you can check that out. But you know, if you're considering Christianity, if you're considering it and you just don't know how to get started, well, it's just as easy as introducing yourself to the Lord. You know, you introduce yourself to Jesus. He is a person. He's alive. He's well. You know, he wants to meet you. He wants to talk to you. He loves you. He died on the cross to prove how much he loves you. And you can be with him for all eternity. And you don't have to be separated from him. Many people start off with just a simple prayer of salvation, just telling Jesus in your own words that you want to start following him, that you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, you believe that he was resurrected, and that he ascended into heaven, that you believe all that stuff, you believe what he says, and you want to start following him now. You want to develop a relationship with him. And you want to follow him instead of any other god or no god at all. Just get that started. Pray to him if you believe those things. If you can look into your heart and you can honestly say, I do believe those things. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be eternally separated from God. I believe that he was crucified. I believe he died. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven. You know, all the stuff that's talked about in the Gospels. If you believe that, and you can honestly say that you believe that, then tell Jesus today. Accept his gift of salvation that he died to give to you, and start a relationship with him that will last on into eternity. It'll never end. You know, Scripture says that once you're in God's hand, nothing can take you out of his hand. So it's at least worth considering, and I would highly recommend that. Okay, so again, all of this information, all the citations can be found at joshpeckdisclosure.com on the JPD NewsWatch tab. Just click on that, and the title again is Could the Deception of the Last Days Concern Israel? There's a lot more that could be said on this topic, by the way. You know, this is not an exhaustive study, but it's definitely something to get the ball rolling. And it's something that we need to be paying attention to, and we need to keep in prayer. This is why it's really important. This is also why it's important to get the Jewish people saved. You know, the more Jewish people are saved, the less this kind of stuff would have to happen. Now, of course, we read Bible prophecy. We know, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that there are many ways that Bible prophecy could be fulfilled. So, because of that, let's get as many Jewish people saved as we can. You know, let's introduce them to their Messiah. And the way that we're going to do that is we have to understand what we're talking about their beliefs. That's why stuff like this is incredibly important for our day today. And that's why I give a big thank you to A. Marie Cole for this amazing article. But when we're informed and when we know what we're talking about, you know, we'll be respected more as a good source of information, even from people who don't believe what we believe. It's just like if a Jewish person was trying to convert you to Judaism, and they knew nothing about Jesus or Christianity or Christ or anything, would you take him seriously? Would you even want to have a conversation with him about it? No, of course not. Because you would be spending your entire time educating him on your beliefs. But if a Jewish person came up to you and already knew everything about Christianity, but for some reason rejected it, but already knew everything about Christianity, already knew all the apologetics, already knew all of the reasons that you believe, now that's somebody that you would want to have a conversation with, because that's somebody that you could just say, okay, well, you know all this stuff, so why don't you believe in it? That's a far more productive conversation than if the Jewish person just didn't know anything. So it's the same for us. We need to be informed about what they believe if we want to have any hope of introducing them to the Messiah. Because otherwise they're going to say, well, you don't care. They're going to feel like we don't care enough about them to even look at their views or understand what they believe. And yet, but we're going to come in and tell them that they're wrong and that we know the path to the Father. We're going to come and tell that when we don't even know anything that they believe. That's why it's so important, because you never know when you're going to meet one of these people. You never know. And you know, of course, like we talked about before, we love the Jewish people. We want to see them come to repentance. We want to see them accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. And there's interpretations of Bible prophecy that seems to indicate that day is coming. So we need to keep that in prayer. All right. Again, if you haven't done so already, please go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, become a member, $10 a month or $100 a year. Not only do you get exclusive video content that's not available anywhere else because it gets censored everywhere, because God forbid we want to talk about Israel and we want to talk about Jews and we want to talk about Christianity and, we want to talk about all this stuff, but it gets censored everywhere. So there are some things on there that you can't find anywhere else. You also get the full video content. Sometimes we'll upload half of a video, so you actually get to, see part of the video, but then for the rest of it, you need to go sign up. Or sometimes we'll do like what we're doing today, where you get the full audio content, but none of the video. If you're a member at joshpeckdisclosure.com, then you can just have access to all of it. Also, we're looking into developing an app. So we're hoping that you'll be able soon. We're hoping that you'll be able to have an app for your phone. A lot of that depends on how many memberships we get and things, because obviously all of this stuff is costly. We want to get a Roku channel at some point. That is costly as well, and it's time consuming. It's a whole other thing, but we want to get an app. Hopefully we can get one for your smart TV. So we're looking into all that. We're also going to be providing content from other people instead of just me. So I will tell you, I had a very productive email correspondence with the great Gary Wayne, author of Genesis 6 Conspiracy. And if everything goes to plan the way that it's looking like, he will soon start providing content specifically for this channel, as long as YouTube will allow it to be on, but also for Josh Peck Disclosure members. So we don't know what it's going to be called yet, but this would be a full like Gary Wayne show. It's you know how I do Peck Report. This would be all him. He's going to be running the show however he wants. He's going to be providing you just some amazing information. So he's on board. We have a couple other people who have said that they're on board as well. Don't know when it's all going to play out, but I'll give more announcements as they come in and when I feel comfortable doing that. But it's looking like possibly the guys from Through the Black are going to be providing some stuff. So, you know, Thomas Dunn and Jared Cressman, you know, they looks like they're going to be providing some stuff for us. So that would be great. And End Times Productions on YouTube, if you haven't had a chance, go check him out. Looks like he's going to be providing some stuff too. And then I'm in talks with some other people. We were able to develop a way where I can literally bring on as many people as I want now, you know, as long as they can, you know, agree to the terms that we have set up, and they're you know, really easy to agree to. But I can literally bring on and be able to pay people for their content and stuff like that. So it's a really good thing that's been happening. The membership thing has been taking off a lot faster than I expected it would, and which is great to see. Every day I'm getting many signups. Really great to see, and I love that. So there's definitely a need for it, because everybody's sick of the YouTube censorship. Everybody's sick of it. So for now I'm able to do this for, you know, anybody who has a substantial audience and who wants to do it. Now, we might, in the future, who knows? We might be able to expand that into an actual platform. Wouldn't that be great? There's a lot of stuff that goes in with that, though. That is a very costly, that's a very costly thing. So there's that would be a future thing. That is up in the air. If God provides a way for that to happen, where we can have a full platform where anybody can upload videos and do stuff, then we'll do that. But you know, keep that in prayer. But for right now, we're going to bring on some other authors, researchers, hosts. We're going to bring on some other people, and give you a lot more content. So you want to become a member? JoshPeckDisclosure.com, $10 a month or $100 a year. Which that is the better deal, because then you get 2 months free. And also, when you check out, don't be worried by the PayPal checkout thing. You don't have to have a PayPal account. You can. You can use your credit card with that, so make sure you do that. Okay, all that being said, I'm looking forward to your, if you're a member, I'm looking forward to reading your questions and addressing them on Peck Report, and if you're not a member, I am looking forward to reading your comments in the comment section below. Please subscribe to this channel, click on the bell. Important that you do so. We're going to keep this channel going as long as possible, and a lot of good stuff is coming, so you'll want to be there for that. All right, I hear the baby crying, so it is time to go. love you all. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for either watching for free on YouTube, or for becoming a member. Thank you for being a member and watching the whole thing, the whole video on JoshPeckDisclosure.com. All that being said, I hope you all have a great day. Till next time, take care and God bless.